Great. So today in the parable of the lost sheep and the lost son, we get a sense of heaven's joy over one sinner who repents. And that joy is a joy that the Father himself expresses right throughout heaven. He is the source of joy. In his presence is the fullness of joy. And if we want to be Christians who live out the joy of heaven, and we want to do things that are pleasing the Father in heaven, it's going to be that one commission that Jesus has given to every single one of us. Go and make disciples. And that making a disciple for some of us might just mean finding one person that we can love. And Jesus loves sinners. He wants to make them saints. And he wants to use us to carry them on our shoulders and bring them nearer and nearer to his glory and to the destiny that he has for them. I'm trusting that we would be inspired for 2016 for a wonderful, just a wonderful year of seeking God, but seeking the lost, seeking to see that every person in this place is actually here for the sake of raising up sons and daughters for Jesus Christ. And we're trusting for an amazing year next year. We're trusting God for wonderful testimonies, just like he's done this 2015. We can look back and thank him. There were trials, but there were treasures. And we know this, the joy of heaven is to see people come and people get saved. Let's be the church that are just like Jesus, that love the lost and love sinners. God bless you all. Trust you. Enjoy the message. Enjoy this Christmas season. And see you in 2016. And you rose again. Jesus, this morning, everything aside, for the sake of the joy of knowing you, Lord, and worshiping you for all that you've done. You're incredible, God. Have your way with us here this morning. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Let's stand and worship.
This is our Lord. We lack nothing. All good and perfect gifts, Lord God, have been given to us in your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for this worship. And church, I want to submit a tongue that has come. Let us just listen.
Hear my heart, my children. Hear my heart. I speak out in love. I speak out in grace to you. You look around you, you see many troubles around. You see the world rising up in troubles. And do not fear. Do not fear, for I will raise up a banner against this. When the enemy comes in as a flood, I will raise up the banner. But I call on you to hold the banner. Stand firm. Hold up my name. And I will do miracles amongst you that you have never, ever seen before. But I ask that you stand firm. Stand firm in my name.
Amen. Let us just consider what the Lord has spoken to us. Fear not, for I am with you. Fear not, for I am with you. I am the joy of your salvation. Lord, we thank you for your encouragement, Lord. We thank you for speaking life over us, Lord. We thank you for all you've done, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, that you've called us, Lord God, that we have a destiny, Lord God, that is secure in heaven. Lord God, you've taken us out of the miry clay and you've set our feet upon solid rock, Lord. Solid ground. This morning, church, we are standing upon solid ground. And it's just like all the songs that we've been singing. Christ is enough for us. I tell you, there's a difference between happiness and there's a difference between joy. Happiness is dependent upon circumstance. When the circumstance is right, we are happy. We are not fearful. But I tell you, when the circumstance is unfavorable, man, happiness goes. That's happiness. It's an emotion. But joy is based upon a person.
Yes, Lord.
When we have joy, we have Jesus Christ. And that is not a fleeting emotion. Our joy, our security, and our fear doesn't depend on circumstance. But it depends on the one who says, I am with you even to the end of the age. It depends on the one who says, in me there's no turning, there's no shifting. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will stick closer than a brother. It's dependent on the one who says, I have prepared a place for you. I have prepared a place for you. Lord, this morning we thank you. Our joy, Lord God, is not in circumstance. Our happiness, Lord God, and our fear is not based on that, Lord. But Lord God, our joy is based in you. Eternal, unmoving, Lord. We thank you for all you are, Lord. David prayed this and he says, restore to me the joy of my salvation. That's a prayer that David prayed. Restore to me the joy of my salvation. The Bible also says, and then the joy of the Lord is our strength. Church, the joy of the Lord. God is wanting to restore joy to us. And what does that mean? He's wanting to restore our relationship with Jesus Christ. Lord, this morning, restore, remind us, Lord, the joy of our salvation. That we are saved, Lord God. That, Lord God, you have cleansed us. You have washed us, Lord. Lord, we thank you. We love you, Father. We bless you, Lord. We bless you. Screaming, laughing, shouting. Most of the time it's expressed by that. But this morning, there's a quietness. But yet there's joy. The joy because we realize He is alive. He is overcome. Man, joyful. Joyful. Joyful that He is enough for us. I want to call the deacons if we can please receive the tithes and offerings. On anything else except the providence and the abundance and the generosity of God. So amen, church, as we give, let us just give in that atmosphere. But man, what an awesome time in His presence. Are we going to continue with the Word? There's going to be ministry, but let's remain in that attitude. I tell you, there's a deep work of God happening this morning. There's a deep work. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And I believe He's going to restore joy to hearts this morning. Amen. Thank you, worship team. Amazing. Thank you, Brad.
No, that's because I saw my wife. Jesus, it's beautiful, eh? Yes, God is good. How are you all this morning? Good. It's wonderful, man, just to be in His presence, to see Him, to look at Him, to be enamored with Him, and to know that we can speak to a God who's not deaf to our ears, and a God who speaks to us. That's great, eh? Well done bringing that word. Obviously, the Holy Spirit doing it. But, we need to pay attention to what God is saying. I encourage you to take notes when the Lord speaks. That was a powerful word. If God was going to speak to you today, if God sent you an SMS, would you delete it or save it? If God sent you an email, would it go to junk mail? Or would it be highlighted, unread, flag, you know, read again later? That's how we treat the word, right? So, I mean, what is God saying to us this morning? Let's just take note again. Think about what has just been shared here. That He wants us to stand firm, to hold the banner high of His name. When we stand for His name, we can stand against anything can come against us and we'll be victorious. If we try to stand for anything else, we'll fail. He's the one that gives us strength, solidity. He's the rock. It's beautiful. So that's great. So take those words to heart. The Lord is speaking to us. Wow, let me pray and then we can preach. Father God, I thank you so much for your presence, Lord. It's unmistakable. We thank you, Lord, Holy Spirit, that you are here. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty and freedom. I pray, God, even as you're present and the word goes forth, that you would heal, set people free, bring change of mind and change of heart. I pray even for hard situations to be made soft. Pray, God, for your grace. Thank you, Lord, even that what I felt in my heart this morning, while there's still life, there's still a fight.
We've not been knocked out. There's still a fight of faith. The fight is life. There's still a fight for life. God, I pray for us. I pray for people that are only seeing darkness, that this morning there would be a light. There would be so clearly, so obviously you shattering everything that the enemy's intended. I pray this in your beautiful name. And God, teach us, stir us this morning as we consider your perfect promises for us and the things that you've determined to do for us. You are faithful. You are true. You're an incredible husband. We worship you and praise you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Wow, so we've been preaching through the parables. If you're new to the church, welcome this morning. It's great to have you with us. And we've been preaching through the parables of Jesus. Jesus didn't teach his disciples anything except through bringing parables. So that's why we focused on a series of the parables. Literally, red letter, if you've got a red letter edition in the Bible. If you've got one of those, you'll see the red words. That's really what we want to focus on. His words are life. His words are truth. His words are the way. To have his words in your heart and in your life changes everything. To receive God's words brings life to your body. How many of you were also at the Thanksgiving this Wednesday night? What an amazing time. And we gave it a challenge. You know, sometimes when it comes to nights like that where we open the mic and let people share what God has done for them, the first person can get up and they go for 5 minutes, and the second person gets up and thinks they need to go for 10 minutes. And so we had a 1 minute challenge, and it was actually brilliant because I think everybody got up and gave a 1 minute challenge with a buzzer. Once the buzzer went, bam, you had to wrap it up and go. But everybody in this whole auditorium had thanks for God. And I tell you what, thanks gives life to your body too. When you're not grateful, when you don't have that contentment, man, the body starts to get sore and things start to knots in your back and the heart starts to beat faster and you can't get breath. I tell you, get a bit of gratitude. Say thank you, Jesus, for what he's done. Thank you, Jesus. Well, if you can say thank you more, you'll have life in your body. But say thank you for his word. His word brings life. And so we're gonna look at his word this morning. We're in Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, verse 1 to 10, and we're looking at the parables of the lost sheep and the lost coin. And I'm trusting that this is going to set some vision for us in 2016. It is a vision Sunday, we've just labeled it that. But folk, I just want you to know, we're not trying to make up some kind of new goal to set every year and then look back and see, well, did we do okay or didn't we do okay? The vision for the church is Jesus Christ. It's always been Jesus Christ. For 2,000 years, it's been Jesus Christ. If we keep Jesus in our vision, we're always going to do what pleases him, and we're always going to do what he requires of us. And sometimes it's going to mean waiting, perhaps for a little bit longer than we'd like. And sometimes it's going to mean moving a lot quicker than we like. So even though we set goals, that's just our attempt at putting things in place for us to keep things moving in the direction that Jesus has set. But the aim of it all is to aim at Jesus, to please Jesus, to do what Jesus wants. A church with a vision of Jesus is made up of every single person in the church with a vision of Jesus. So as you have a vision of Jesus, as you see Jesus, as you listen to Jesus, as Jesus tells you to do things, that's what's going to fulfill the vision for your life and fulfill the vision for the whole church. If you don't do what Jesus is asking you to do, it's pointless for a church to try to have a vision of what Jesus wants us to do. Amen. That actually depends on every single one of us seeing Jesus, hearing Jesus, and doing what Jesus wants. And so we can put out ideas and thoughts and goals and aims that we'd like to kind of measure to see if we're being fruitful, because fruitfulness is also something that Jesus requires of every single one of us. Amen? He says, this is to my Father's glory that you bear fruit. And he expects you to bear fruit. And as you bear fruit, the church bears fruit. As the church bears fruit, the nations bear fruit. And the whole world is covered with the glory of the Lord. And I stole that. That sounds great, doesn't it? But Nick knows that I stole that from Nelspruit. I listened to Alan Parfitt preach in Nelspruit last weekend. And it was all about that. So I don't think I'm very clever this morning. But we're blown away. We had a wonderful time as a team of myself, Chris, some of the youth. Nick and his wife, all our kids, and Manglin and Edlin, and we went across to Nelspruit. And I tell you, God is doing amazing things in Nelspruit. Can anything good come out of Nelspruit? I didn't think so until I went there. And it's like the mountains are like the hands of God holding this amazing little city in the middle, and there's just so much good that is coming from that place.
And the Church Unlimited is, man, they're pumping. I preached to a youth of about 150, between 150 and 180 youth, mostly unsaved. 50 kids got saved on Friday night. It was wonderful. Just as I was sharing my testimony of my nonsense and how Jesus changed me, 50 kids came forward, and it was wonderful to see. And then the Sunday night, I got to preach again, and we saw a wonderful response again to the ministry. So we've learned a lot. We imparted a little bit, but we received a lot. I mean, when you walk into that church, you know this is a church that loves children. And this is a church that loves young people and loves youth. And we need to take a feather out of that cap, I think. We had a deacons meeting on Friday night. Not all the deacons were there, but the average age was like probably up in the 40s. I thought, wow, Lord, let us be a church that love young people, see young people raised up, and see young people serving God to their full capacity. I mean, Jesus was 50, folk. David was 16 when God started to use him mightily. David was 50 when he was king of Judah, was it? And 37, king of Israel. But still, I mean, that's just the 30s. I'm making myself feel good about the 30s. But God uses teens. God uses young people. And we want to see God do amazing things in our young people. For that's one of the things, just let me set it aside as a part of our vision for 2016, that in all our corporate prayer meetings, we're going to pray for young people. We're going to pray for our youth. Any matrix here this morning? No. No, they're all ducked. Man, Kayla, Amy, you matric, aren't you? Any other matrix? Reese? I mean, we need to see more matrix here, isn't it? We need to see people in small people in school in the church. Huh? Mm. All right. I'm losing track. Luke chapter 15, verse 1 to 10. The parable of the lost sheep. Now the tax collectors and sinners. Everyone say sinners. Tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with him." So he told them this parable, telling the Pharisees, "What man of you, if any of you are man enough, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And he, when he's found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance." What makes heaven happy? You think your big degree is going to make heaven happy? You think your big amount of money is going to make heaven happy? You're going to think all your fame and all your friends is going to make heaven happy? What makes heaven happy, folk? When one sinner repents. Come on. We want to make heaven happy, right? Or are we living to make ourselves happy? Or are we thinking God is happy with certain things? Man, God rejoices when one sinner repents. Can you remember the day when you repented of your sin? Can you remember what a wonderful day there was? And you sensed heaven come down and joy fill your heart. The joy of our salvation, we sang about it this morning. Christ, my all in all, the joy of my salvation. Hey, we need to be a happy bunch. Honestly, sometimes churches can look very sour-faced. I don't know if you know, but God's a happy God. I don't know if you know that you need to have your picture of God changed from the frowning father with a big stick to the happy God who spins and dances around over you. Hello. It's a bit quiet here. Is God spinning and dancing over you? Do you want to act like God? Okay, stand up. Spin around. Come on. That's great. And then Jesus carry on, just to make the point a little bit stronger. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she's found it, she calls together her friends and her neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I found the coin that I'd lost." Just so, I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Oh, it's beautiful. Where does God see value? The answer to this question is probably what gives God the greatest joy. The same answer. He sees value in the things that give him the greatest joy. So sinners draw near to Jesus. I want to just run through these amazing words of Jesus. Sinners still draw near to Jesus. You know, Jesus has an ability to befriend anyone. Anybody feel like Jesus is not their his friend or her friend? Have you ever felt like you can't be a friend of Jesus? Never. He's the friendliest being there exists. He loves people. He wants to be your friend. And Jesus could hang with anyone. Because he knew this, that he'd come to set people free from the sickness that was inside of them. He said on many occasions, "I came to seek and save the lost. I'm not looking for the clean people. I'm not looking for the healthy people. I'm looking for the sick and dirty and broken people. Because that's why I've come. I've come to heal. I've come to set free. I've come to save." That's why Jesus comes. If you think you fraught, that's exactly who Jesus comes for. For you. He's not running from you. He's not like, "I'm not going to touch you with a pole that you open windows with." I always get that one. I always battle that stupid pole funny thing. He wants to save you. He wants to set you free from sin. He wants to come to you and bring all of his righteousness and all of heaven with him and influence you. You know, there's no sin in heaven. And if a sinner ever gets to heaven, all of us, is any of our sin going to affect heaven? Not at all. It'll be completely destroyed. Our sin doesn't affect heaven. Heaven affects us. And that's what God wants to do. He wants to bring himself, heaven himself, to every single one of us and set us free from sin. Isn't that beautiful? Anyone who draws near to God will find God's already been drawing near to him. Isn't that beautiful? God's not running away from you. God doesn't think you stinky. God doesn't think you leprous, foul, dirty thing. I don't want to touch you. God doesn't say that. Jesus doesn't say that. He doesn't look at you and think of you the way maybe your worst enemy thinks of you. Maybe somebody said to you, "You're worthless, you're ugly, you're good for nothing." Maybe somebody, even your father or your mother, or somebody that really hurt you or abused you. Jesus doesn't do that. Jesus comes to set you free. Jesus is not scared of you. Jesus loves you and wants to restore you and make you strong and make you whole. Who wants wholeness? It's in Jesus. I want to ask this question. Are you a Christian? Are you a Christ one? Can people still draw near to you? That's a big question, because if Jesus is in you, can people still draw near to you? Are you a loner? Do you like to get away from people? Because Jesus is not like that. And if we're becoming like the one who created us, the more we worship him, the more we transform to be like him. The more we see him, the more we receive him into our lives, the more we become like him, the more we want to be with people who are broken. If you find you want to get away from people, you want to get away from South Africa, you want to get away from this government, you want to get away from that pain, you want to get away from this, you're not like Jesus. Hello? Because he was in heaven and he had everything going for him. Angels massaging his feet, I'm sure. He didn't stay in heaven because he was concerned about a whole entire mankind that's destined for hell. And he decided, "I'm not going to let them go there. But the only way they're going to get saved is they're not going to get you. I'm going to get up from this throne and I'm going to come to them. And I'm going to walk in the dirt." And we celebrate Christmas because we think it's all about little goats and sheep and presents and all kinds of golden stars and all kinds of funny things. I don't know why we don't have our Christmas tree up. And I actually don't have a problem with the Christmas tree, because it's not a major issue, Oaks. Really. Christmas tree is nothing. Do you know what the point is? It's Jesus Christ. It's all about Jesus. We make it about all so much other stuff and what it shouldn't be and what it should be. It's all about Jesus who came to the world to save sinners. That's the most important thing about Christmas. There He is, the God of heaven, in a feeding trough with goat gob on Him. Can I be real? In the place where the donkeys left their dung. That's where Jesus came. That's where He comes to you. That's why He can come to you. He's not scared of you. He's not saying, clean up yourself first. Put a bit of deodorant on. Then maybe we can be friends. I'm being very graphic, but on purpose. You know what you felt like when you didn't know Jesus? I know what I felt like when I walked into a church and Jesus wasn't inside me yet. I felt like the worst thing on the planet. Not even a person anymore. But I felt like He loved me and He wanted to save me. Man, are we still attractive to the sinners? Or is our whole goal as Christians to go to court and fight sinners? Is this what it's all about? For us to be the church that they better not talk to in a bad way. The church will go to court and we'll take all you sinners out. Hello? Or should we be the church of Jesus Christ who goes and saves sinners? It goes and reaches them. And, you know, we're trying to protect ourselves so much from all the nonsense of the world. But Jesus never did that once. Not once did Jesus say, I'm going to go to court and make sure these sinners don't affect me. Not once. He said, I'm going to go to court and I'm going to keep my mouth shut. And I want these sinners to affect me. They can beat me up. And in fact, I want all their sin on me because I'm going to die on the cross for them. What? What kind of church are we? Who are we as the church of Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners? It's so important for us, folks. If anything is setting the vision for 2016, it's Jesus Christ setting the vision. Jesus, the one who saves and loves sinners. If we're going to be a church that's going to be like Jesus, then let's save and love sinners. Yo, I don't know, I feel like laying into so many things, but I can't. But I think you're understanding what I'm talking about. We're quick to pull the gun and hammer people for stuff. And hammer governments and hammer all these kind of things. The whole homosexual thing at the moment. It's not for the church to rise up and fight them. It's for us to save them. Jesus, He says, come and eat with me. Come and serve me. You know, if people received an invitation rather than a court order, what kind of heart do you think would rise up within them? Because I respond to a court order differently than I respond to an invitation. A court order makes me want to rise up in defense. But an invitation makes me want to humble myself and respond. Maybe we can diffuse the whole battle by inviting. Say, come and eat with me. Come and sit with me. Can we be like Jesus? Jesus is open. Jesus is inclusive. Jesus is welcoming. Jesus is hospitable. Obviously, bad company can corrupt good morals. You've heard that, right? But we're good company, aren't we? This is good company. So let's bring the bad guys into the good company. And let's see them affected by good morals. If we keep going hanging out with bad company, yes, we will be affected. But let's bring them in. Let's welcome them in. And if we go out in strength. Because we need to reach them. Jesus went out in strength. Understand who you are in Christ. Understand your position. Understand that you don't have to get drunk to win a drunkard. Hello? You don't have to throw yourself into the same sins to understand the sinner. Jesus didn't have to be a sinner in order to understand sinners. He understood sinners. We're in trouble. Can you remember what it was like to be lost? In fact, have you ever been lost? You know what the problem with being lost is this. You thought you knew where you were going. You thought you knew where you were going, and then all of a sudden you don't know where the heck you are, and then you don't even know how you got there. And you don't want to ask anyone, but now you've got to, because now you don't know where the heck you are. And we all, like sheep, have gone astray. And we think we know where we're going with our lives. We think we know where we're leading our business. We think we're knowing where we're leading our marriage and our parents and our kids and all these things. We think we know where we're going. But before long, we don't know where the heck we are. We don't know where the family's gone. We don't know where the business is. We don't know what's happening to our husband, our wife, our kids, and all these kind of things. How about understanding we all, like sheep, have gone astray? You never knew where you were going. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Get back to Him. It's not nice to be lost. But man, it's nice when somebody comes after you and shows you where to go. Hallelujah. Jesus came to find us. Can you go and find some people that are lost? You don't have to look far. People don't know what their left hand and right hand are doing. I was sitting with the worship team at a lunch yesterday at this place called Mexican Salsa. Or Salsa, what is it? A place like that does Mexican food. And opposite it is another place where they do beer. And so I was sitting just looking across this and I was like, wow, Lord, look at all these people. And I mean, all kinds of people. That's who Jesus went and hung out with. I don't know if I would be, I don't know how, but we've got to ask the Lord for wisdom and for His Spirit to guide us into the right situations. But let's start influencing people for the sake of their lostness. Can we not be grumblers? Jesus had grumblers. Moses had grumblers. I've got grumblers. I'm a grumbler. You're grumbling about this. What's going on there now? And the things that people grumble about in the Bible are the things that God is doing. Hello? Perhaps God is doing something, but we're grumbling. Grumbling will destroy your joy. Are you grumbling or are you full of joy? That's a good question, eh? Oh, man. Proverbs 14, verse 12. There's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it only leads to death. Gosh, there's so many people that are going astray. You know, the devil will deceive you that you're on the right track. You're on the right track, my boy. You're on the right track, sister. This thing that you're doing, it's the devil's work, but don't, you're on track. Keep going. While there's a bit of life, folk, we can still win the battles because Jesus did. While there's still, man, when people are confused and there's still an opportunity, God can still do something amazing. Trust Him. Let's not get lost. The problem with our lostness is this, it's hellishly lost. It's going to get a bit heavy. Romans 3, verse 9 to 12. You know, these Pharisees, they thought they were better off. They thought they were clever. They thought, hey, Jesus hangs with us sinners. Why doesn't He hang with us clean people? But this is Romans. It says, what then? Are we Jews any better off? No, not at all. We've already charged that all, both Jews and Greeks, are under sin. As it's written, no one is righteous, not one. No one understands. No one seeks God. All have turned aside together and have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. You know, it's scary. I just want you to understand something about the holiness of God. God is so holy, holy, holy. He's so holy that one speck of sin in His presence is absolutely unacceptable. Amen. He's so, so holy that the smallest speck of sin just cannot be in His presence. If the smallest speck was allowed, He wouldn't allow, you can't be holy. The holiness of God, it's that big, it's that deep, it's that powerful. He's infinitely holy. That's why no sin can be there. And our lostness is a separation from God, is doing our own thing. Missing the mark. You know what the intention that God had for you and I in this life? He's made us to reflect His holy, holy, holy image. How are we doing? Maybe not so good. It's not easy to reflect the holy, holy, holy God's image, right? One sin disqualifies us. That's the problem. One sin is as if you've broken the whole law. One sin. I want to show you the value of one. Because then we're talking about all of heaven rejoicing over one sinner who repents. one sin puts you into trouble. Who's committed one sin? We've probably committed a sin a minute. Okay, so now God shows us something. It says, when that sheep was lost, it says, what man of you bears a lost sheep will not go after it? And so Jesus leaves heaven and he comes to us. Fuck. Oh man, we've all got 99 things to do. We've all got 100 things we've got to handle. We've all got our work, our health, our marriage, our children, everything that we've got to handle. 99 things. Every time you ask someone, hey, do you want to come with me on a trip to the nations? 99 things. Do you want to come with me on a trip to Nelspruit? 99 things. Do you want to go to a life group this week? 99 things. Do you want to read your Bible? 99 things. Have you prayed? 99 things. Leave the 99 aside. Because we don't have an opportunity to try to do everything all the time anyway. But we've got to do what counts. And Jesus leaves the 99 beside and comes after you and I. We couldn't save ourselves. One sin puts us in big trouble. But Jesus, one Savior, comes after us. He's amazing in every way. He puts us on His shoulders. He carries us. In Jude, it says, to Him who is able to keep us from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of His glory with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory and majesty and dominion and authority before all time, now and forevermore. He's the one that can bring us and keep us and put us holy and blameless before holy, holy, holy God. Isn't that beautiful? Jesus is the one. He comes to save sinners. Sinners saved is heaven's joy. Let's live for heaven's joy. I'm repeating myself. It's important. James chapter 5 verse 19. Let's become like Jesus. My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. In 2016, will you carry someone? You know when the Bible talks about carry your cross, what do you think that means? I'd like to suggest something. Jesus carried a cross, but what was He carrying actually? He was carrying every one of us, and our sin, and our futures and everything. He carried it. When Jesus says, follow me and carry your cross, you know what's the biggest cross for me? People. Hello? Is it like that for you? Our biggest crosses come. When do you get cross? Exactly. Your biggest cross is people. You can deal with a broken foot, Tony. It can heal. And you have to carry your foot around a little bit, but that's fine. Jesus is healing you, Tony. But people carry your cross. This is Galatians 6, verse 1 to 2. Brothers, if anyone is caught in a transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted, but bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Isn't that beautiful? Let's carry our crosses. Let's carry the sinners. Let's carry people to Jesus. Let's carry people through stuff. Let's carry people out of darkness into His light. Let's take someone and consider their progress. It's, I posted it on Facebook this week. It's too cruel to only think of your heaven on earth and to forget about somebody else's hell for eternity. We're so concerned about our heaven, folk. We read the Bibles for our heaven. We organize our finances for our heaven. We do things in our home, in our families, with our buildings, with all these things for our heaven. But we're not considering what Jesus considers more important than anything else, the hell of others. Hell is hectic. Hell is continuous burning. Flesh eating flesh, and it reappears again, and it's gone, and then it's there, and it doesn't stop being in pain. Hell's too much suffering for your sin. But a holy God has to punish sin, and that's how it's punished. And you know what? Hell was not designed for people. Hell was designed for the devil and his demons. But the devil and his demons are leading people with them. Saying, come with me. Don't worry, hell's just a bar where the drinks are on me. Forget it. That's a joke and a trick to get you into the worst pain you could ever imagine. And it doesn't stop. And yes, man, I don't know about you, but like, if my little boy has a sore toe, I want to help him. Because he's my boy and I don't want him to have a sore toe. If somebody else has a sore toe, I'm like, it's all right. Hello? Man, I fell for Tony on that day. We're playing action cricket and his Achilles snapped. That's anal. But it's like, I'm detached from it because I'm like, sure, that's hectic. All right, let's get on with the cricket game. Yeah? And Tony's team still won. So, I mean, but like, you know, being a detachment with your Achilles is nothing like a detachment from God. And we don't, it doesn't even move us. Oh, Lord, I pray, God, for us. Place, I don't know, Lord, put something in our hearts that we would have a genuine care about people being cut off from you in hell forever. We can't be Christian and not think about that. We can't be like Christ and never give that a thought. We can't be like Christ and only think of how the Bible works for me and not think about how it works for the lost. Lord, please forgive us for being Pharisees. Jesus goes on to talk about the coin. And I love this, folk. I want to just highlight this for you. You know that the coin, it talks about a woman had 10 coins, all right? I'm pointing to my head for a reason. They say, I've heard it said, that the 10 coins was part of a marital or bridal headdress. So you can imagine. Wesley Ballerum is not here today. You know the guy who drums? He just got engaged this week. So praise God for that. And you can imagine a girl, who of you know marriage in any way, a wedding day in any way? The bride's dress and what she puts on is like the most important thing in the whole world. John and Nikki work as a, what do you do? Wedding, they do wedding stuff. Yes, I'm battling. You know what's happening? My ear's blocked. So I'm like, I feel like I'm talking in a tunnel. Please forgive me. Anyway. Jesus, help me focus. You guys must stay focused. I don't have to stay focused. You must stay focused. The bride's dress is like the most important thing for her. So there were ten coins that were put, silver coins that were put on the headdress of the bride. I don't know what they represent. But you can imagine, for a girl who's going to get married, that's very important, right? And I love the fact that Jesus uses the sentiment to show us the heart of eternal joy. Who of you are preparing? Any others preparing for marriage here? Or maybe, amen. That guy over there, amen. Fritz over there is an eligible bachelor. And 10 coins. So you can imagine a girl who's a fiancée. She's about to get married. She's lost one of the coins that are going to be in her headdress. The poor mother-in-law, whoever, that coin is gone. Everybody must now stop everything and find that coin. Now imagine, I mean, you can imagine if it's a ring. Have you got the ring? No, I lost it. There's only two rings you've got to look after, best man. Where are they? If you lose, it's hectic. Someone's going to lose their head. And so, it can also be somebody who is married. Today, I can stand in front of you. Today is my 12th anniversary with my beautiful wife. 12 years, Jeremiah 29:11, November 29:11. God says, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, to give you a hope and a future. I tell you, God knew what he was doing when he gave me Sharissa as his wife, as my wife. I am so grateful. And I tell you, I've learned some things, but I'm grateful to God. There's been some tough times. I worked it out like this. The first 4 years, we were on our own, and we didn't have a care in the world, and everything was lacquer. The next 4 years, we tried to have kids, and it was all about our infertility and our fertility issues. These last 4 years have been with kids and a completely different thing. I tell you, there's ups and downs, folks.
Don't bail out in the low. Press on and fight for the high, because it's worth it. Don't let one of the coins just go missing. You might have 10 things that are valuable in your marriage. Don't just let one fall off and another one fall off. And you're not forgiving anymore. And you're not caring anymore. And you don't bring flowers anymore. And you don't, whatever it is. If one of them falls off, search the whole house until you put that value back in place, because it's worth it. It could be a married person. It could also be a widow who the coin has fallen off the headdress, and it's the only thing she's got to remind her of her marriage and to remind her of the husband that she loved all those years, and the coin has fallen off. You can imagine for this woman, she wants to find that. She wants to put it back in place. And God uses the sentiment of that simple little thing to show us how much He cares about us. You know what? We are the bride of Jesus Christ, and He doesn't want anyone to go missing. He uses that example to show how He will search. He'll put a light on. He'll hold the word up. He'll hold Jesus Christ as the light of the world up for everyone to see, so that the light can shine over the darkness and you can find the ones that have gone missing. And it says she sweeps everywhere and she seeks diligently. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. What is the kingdom of God, folks? It's Jesus Christ saving lost people, bringing the king into a place where there's no king. Let's find those that need Jesus. Let's bring them back in. Let's seek after it like anything else. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. It's hard when you have to give up the search party. You know, when you read on the news and all these things about people that are lost and they've had to stop the search party. I tell you, someone who really cares doesn't stop seeking. I don't know where something was on Discovery Channel the other day, and they had these pictures of these little girls gone for 20 years, and the mothers are still holding up the picture. And they're still trying to find what they might look like today to hold up another picture and say, have you seen this girl? Have you seen this boy? Man, can it burn within us to look for and seek the lost? There's lost people in your family. You're going to see a lot of people this Christmas. This Christmas could be a Christmas of reunited restoration like never before. This Christmas can be the Christmas where the lost come home. This Christmas can mean you go and seek someone that you haven't seen in a long time. Your brother, your sister, your husband, your ex, whatever the case may be. Whoever it is, find them. Maybe they're not looking for you. Look for them. Lastly, it says this. There is more rejoicing before the angels. I've touched on it already. What are the angels looking at in heaven? God. When it says there's more rejoicing before the angels, they're looking at God rejoice when one sinner repents. Repentance, folk, is simple. Change your mind about being lost. If you're lost, put your trust in Jesus. Ask Him to help you, to show you the way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. You can't live without Him. You're lost without Him. But you're found with Him. That's what it's all about. To be reunited with your Maker. Turn from doing things your own way and come back to Him. Oh Lord, I want to pray for us. Lord, you want to show us the value of one. And in this place today, each one of us is valued. And each one of us has been the focus of heaven's searching. And Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And maybe you're in this place today and you haven't accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Know this, that all of heaven has been searching for you. And Jesus has brought you to this place to hear, so that you can hear Him say that I've been looking for you. You've been lost, but now you're found. Put your trust in me and I will guide you on the way. You need GPS. You need guidance, you need peace, and you need His Spirit. And I'll give that to you today. You put your trust in Jesus this morning. You will be found. You will know what it's like to no longer ever walk astray again, but to be led like a son and a daughter of God by the Spirit of God. If you hear this morning and you say, that's me, Brad, I feel like I've been lost. Why don't you put up your hand and say, I want Jesus to guide me. I want Jesus to show me the way. I want Jesus to teach me how to live. Is there anyone here? Wonderful. Wonderful, Charmaine. Wonderful. Lord God, I want to thank you for every one of us that have been found. Please don't, God, make us like Pharisees. I know you're not going to do it, but I ask you, Lord God, forgive us. And I pray today for an impartation by the Spirit for a love for the lost. That we don't look at sinners with judgment, but we look at sinners with love to save them. Sinners can't keep doing the sin that they're doing or they will die. But somebody needs to love them enough to show them Jesus, and Jesus will transform them. I can't change a person's heart, but Jesus can. And Jesus is in me, and Jesus is in you, and He wants to use us. And I thank you, Lord, in this place, there's value on every one of us being used by you. One man sinned, Adam, and all mankind fell. But one man died for us, Jesus Christ, and all mankind is saved. And Lord God, if we don't see the value of one action, of one good job, of one good thing, of one heart, of one soul, of giving ourselves just once for the things of the kingdom of God, who knows how much the world could be turned upside down for the kingdom of Jesus. Lord, I pray for us today. I pray we would see the value of the one thing, of the one call, of the one SMS, of the one I love you, of the one let's try again, of the whatever it is, Lord. I pray just this once, there's power. I pray every one of us would experience that power right now in Jesus' wonderful name. Holy Spirit, fill us again with your love for broken, sinful people. May we fight for them, not fight them, but fight for them in Jesus' name. I want to quickly touch on a few things just as far as vision is concerned. We're going to hand out calendars for 2016. And folk, in 2015, beginning of 2015, I had that picture. Can you remember of the Prepare for Glory? And that movie 300. And I saw the poster of that 300, Prepare for Glory. And I thought, jeez, God. We want to prepare for glory. And the 300 was significant. So I said, gee, God, imagine we could have 300 people that are fully devoted to you. 300 people that are in love with you. 300 people that are following you and going just wherever Jesus wants them to go. How are we doing? I'll tell you this. We've got an average of about 120 people on a Sunday. I think more people need to experience what's happening here. Do you agree? If each one of you went after one sheep or one coin, we would be 300. Amen. Can you make it a goal for 1 year to go for it? I want to share another little quick stat. We had 156 visitors this year, of which 18 of them became members. It's not a very good conversion rate. I mean, we know people come from all over South Africa, but 136 visitors. If we got an average of 120 people on a Sunday, there's the ups and the downs, there's the Joburg 94.7, and all of a sudden no one's here. And then we do have these times, Easter, and it's like packed. But if it averages around 150, and God sent 150, it's about what we did with them. And this is why I want to encourage you for 2016. Ask yourself the question, which sheep am I going to put on my shoulders and carry? Because it's one thing if they come and they say, I'm lost. But it's another thing if you who know the way can take them by the hand and say, I'll show you the way. And for 1 year, you walk somebody through the things that you know and have learned. You've learned a lot from Jesus. Hello? You've learned a heck load from Jesus already. And who are you imparting it to? Because that's what's going to show people the way. Anything that you've learned, that's good. Let's teach others. We had 52 people got saved. I want to, amen, eh? That means heaven rejoiced 32 times, hello? But only 32. I mean, 50 was at the Nelspruit last week. It's not, yeah, that was 50, yeah, in this meeting. I remember the last time I spoke on hell, this whole thing was full of people. But that, I don't know if that's just people being scared of hell. We don't want people to come to church to be scared of hell. We want people to come to church to love Jesus and to be a blessing like Jesus.
We had 14 people baptized. So of the 32 that were saved, 14 were baptized. That's great. It's one a month at least. But let's trust God for more men. Hey, if the great commission that Jesus gave us as the vision for every year is go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, then we need to be doing that. We've got to do that more than anything else. I want to encourage you also with tithes and offerings, folk. Can I ask this for your benefit? Tithe. For the sake of the kingdom. Because it's for the sake of lost people. Because we do with the money what we can to see that lost people are saved. That's what we want to do. That's why we maintain what we've got. We're trying our best. But this is so that people can get saved. Who of you want to see this place full? I want to see it full, man. I want to see us having to buy chairs. And there's a whole lot of things we want to do to secure the kids' area. I don't know how many of you have been to that Lonial shopping center and what they've done below for kids. Go look at Lonial shopping center at some point and go downstairs and see how that place is a party for kids. We want to do something like that. We want to see God come through. But like, if one of the coins, of the 10 coins that you've been given, is a tithe, don't lose it and use it. Give it to Jesus. If you get a 13th check, please let there be a 13th tithe. Hello? Of all your increase, bless the Lord. And Sharice and I just want to tell you, God is so good to us. We don't have all the salaries that we're supposed to get this year. But we've got food on our table. And He's good. And I felt like God say, make sow in famine. And it says, Isaac sowed in famine. And it says, he reaped that very year. I pray that for you. I pray if you've been seeing, even if you've got debts and all these kind of things, guys, start to do things God's way. And you'll see God come through in amazing ways. Honor the Lord. And so we had an average of about 230,000 rand that came in every month. But we need just over that. So I'm trusting that the 300 go to 300,000 a month for the sake of the kingdom. I'm being honest with the finances. They're cool. You're right to that. We don't just talk money. We talk Jesus. Man, who's excited about 2016? God bless you guys. Merry Christmas. I'm away from tomorrow till the 19th. And I'll see you after that. I'll be back preaching on Christmas. And so God bless you and travel safe, all of you who are traveling or going anywhere. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brad. If he finds something that he feels that the Lord is leading him to, he's going to stay. So, Brad, why don't you just pray over Travi?
Father God, I just want to thank you for men, for young men like this who love you and have wanted to serve you, Jesus. Lord, for the years after school, he's been doing what he can for the sake of your kingdom. And I thank you, Father God, your word is true and you promise him everything that he needs because he puts you first. I thank you that you guide him, Lord. I thank you that you guide him through his courtship with a young girl that he might marry one day. And we trust you, Jesus, that it would be blessed. We pray, Father God, for safety on his travels. But Lord God, wherever he is, you would use him for your glory and for your name. Lord, we thank you. This man is a reward to us. He's a blessing to us. And if anything that we've put into him is going to be a blessing to the nations, we thank you for that, Father God. So we release him with great joy in our hearts and we send him out. Lord God, and we pray to you for more like him. We pray, Lord God, for interns. We pray for those that have done matric, those that are studying, that have got time for the sake of the kingdom to come and serve. This man has fulfilled the job of 4 interns. I pray, Father God, you would send us as we sow him out. We want to reap 30, 60, 100 fold for the things that we've got to see done in 2016. And Lord, we pray that you would just bless Travis. Thank you for him and his family. Lord, a wonderfully well-raised boy. What credit to Craig and Joel and to his brothers, Curtis and Denver. Lord, use him mightily, we pray. Holy Spirit, anoint him, fill him, and may your glory be seen through him. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Travis.
So on that note, we're losing one, and I hope that, as Brad said, that we'll reap 50, 60, 100 fold. So I just want to chat to you quickly about the internship program that we're going to be just want to chat into for next year. With Trav gone, I won't lie, I'm going to need some help. And it'll be awesome, a great time. We've got wonderful things that you can learn. And it's just an amazing thing. I speak from experience, and I'm sure you can chat to Trav if you're interested. It's just a wonderful thing to serve the kingdom 24/7. And if you are leaving matric, and any students in the house, any students, Jojo, no, any students, Kayla, you guys, okay, cool, we've got some. Yeah, I'm chatting to you guys. If you guys are keen to serve in the life of the church, and I can promise you, it's so rewarding. We would love for you to just send me an application, Chris at the Crossing, and we can look into you guys coming and helping out here, and just serving Jesus. Thank you.
Awesome. One last announcement before we...